Dear siblings in Christ, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and from Jesus, who is the Christ. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts this night, O Lord, be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. And may some of my words be your words this night. Amen. When I was serving a congregation in Connecticut, we had the tradition of offering our confirmation class each June the opportunity of going to our synod camp, Camp Calumet, up on Lake Ossipee in New Hampshire. And often is the case, we would team up with another church near us to share the teaching load, because that was the schedule of the camp. In the mornings, you would have teaching with your confirmands, and then you'd have lunch, and in the afternoon, you'd go out and you'd do what you're supposed to do at camp: swim, hike, canoe, enjoy yourself. Well, this particular year, Les and I decided that we would give a foretaste, a little summary of Luther's Small Catechism, because we were planning to teach it that fall. And so I preached on, or taught on, the Creed. He did the Lord's Prayer. I did the Ten Commandments. And it was his turn to preach on the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so he began to talk about it. He said, you know that in this baptism, God calls us by name and he grants us new life. As St. Paul said, if we've been buried with Christ through baptism, we have been raised with him as well. And that's the new life Christ promises us. Well, one of his students that year was a young man by the name of Tommy. Tommy was special. He had Down syndrome. And the one thing I really loved about church camp is that it was a safe place. No one kidded Tommy. No one derided him or bullied him. They simply accepted him. And Tommy, one of the things he loved to do was to give hugs. And virtually everyone would always accept a hug from Tommy. So Tommy stands up and goes, Pastor, I want to be baptized. Les thought for a second, you haven't been baptized? Nope. And so said, I'll call your parents, and if they say it's okay, we'll do the baptism. And that's what he did. He called them, found out indeed Tommy hadn't been baptized. The parents agreed to take the 4-hour drive up to Camp Calumet, and that morning after breakfast, we all went down to the lake. And there, Tommy walked into the lake with Les, and Les baptized him in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And as he was lifted out of that water, Les looked at him and said, God loves you, and so do we. Welcome to new life. Well, Tommy put up his hands to heaven and started to run. He ran out of the lake, and he ran all through the camp yelling, new life, new life, new life. Well, that was a wake-up call the camp got that day. So at chapel, everyone, of course, had heard Tommy, and the chaplain said, you know, we should welcome him. So he asked Tommy to come forward, stand at the front of the campsite area, and he said, why don't we welcome Tommy as a brother now in Christ? And everyone started to applaud. Everyone stood and was applauding. And then one girl decided that she would leave her chair, and she walked up, and she gave Tommy a hug and simply said, new life. And you know what happened? Everyone at that camp followed her. We all stood in line to give Tommy a welcome hug and to proclaim new life to him. Our line, our I am statement for today is, I am the resurrection and the life. And it comes inside this story of the raising of Lazarus to new life. For John's gospel, this is a pivotal story. In fact, for John's gospel, it is the raising of Lazarus to new life that is the reason the religious officers and scribes and so on, they decide they need to kill him. And not just him, they also want to kill Lazarus. In the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's the trial. Jesus is brought to the trial. Why? Because he cleansed the temple. He challenged the temple system. But John's gospel, it's Lazarus. So what does Jesus do? he hears about his friend being ill. And it says, he did nothing for 2 more days. Now, I don't know about Pastor Connie, but if we had suggested that in our pastoral care class, we would have failed. When somebody's ill, you go to them. But Jesus says, I'm going to wait because I have something greater to show you. So he goes to Lazarus, finally, and Martha meets him on the outskirts of Bethany. And she says to him, Lord, I really wished you had been here because then my brother would not have died. Now, he's been in the tomb 4 days. Why 4 days? Because the Jewish people had the belief that the spirit or the soul of the person kind of hovered over the body for 3 days. And finally, on the 4th day, they were dead. Sort of reminds me of the line from The Wizard of Oz when the coroner is sent there to certify the death of the wicked witch of the East. And what does he say? She's not only merely dead, she is most sincerely dead. Lazarus was dead. But notice what Jesus says to Martha. He will rise again. And Martha says, I know that, on the last day. Then we get our I am statement. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Note, he doesn't say, I'm going to become the resurrection and the life. I'm that right now. And so Easter Sunday, which we'll celebrate in just 2 Sundays, is really confirmation that Jesus is who he always has been, resurrection and life. One of my favorite poets is the poet Wendell Berry. He's also a great environmentalist. In one of his poems, he ends it simply with 2 words, practice resurrection. I've always kind of wondered what Wendell meant by that. I think I have an answer, at least for us tonight. The answer is simply in the sacraments that we celebrate, baptism and the Lord's Supper. When we are baptized into Christ, and we say that Christ knows us by name and that we are given new life. Not that we're going to get new life when we die. It's not pie in the sky when you die. That resurrection promise of new life happens immediately, and we share in it. And that's what Tommy felt that day before he took his run through the camp. In fact, Martin Luther says, we need to claim that promise of baptism each and every day in our lives. I asked Pastor Connie to move the baptismal font away from the table that we set the elements on Sunday morning for communion. I did that because I'm not sure everyone has noticed that that table has inscribed on it, I am the resurrection and the life. And that is what the Lord's Supper is. It's not just a meal where Christ is the host, but he's also the meal himself. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, my mother would come and find me eating junk food, and often she would simply look at me and go, Stephen, you will become what you eat. Well, in some ways, the church says that exactly about the Lord's Supper. Augustine and other church fathers have said that we will become that which we eat. We share in Christ's resurrection and his new life every time we take Holy Communion together. So let's return to the story of Lazarus. So Jesus finally gets to Lazarus' tomb, 4 days, remember. Mary comes out to join him, and she's crying. And we now have the shortest verse in the whole New Testament. It simply says, Jesus wept. Jesus is moved by death. It's something that you and I will experience. But Jesus says death does not have the final word. It's real, but it's not the last word. And so what does he do? He calls Lazarus by name out of the tomb. And just as we heard many times, Jesus, the shepherd, knows the name of his sheep. But more importantly, Lazarus knows his voice. And he comes out of the tomb. He's all still wrapped up in those burial cloths. So he kind of waddles out, I think. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, unbind him. And now Lazarus has new life. Now, This isn't in the Gospel of John. It's maybe a footnote, I would add. But I kind of think that once Lazarus was unbound, he also ran into the village yelling, "New life! New life! Indeed, new life!" And that, my friends, is our destiny too. Today and forever, as we claim that resurrection new life, we are indeed practicing resurrection. Practice it, know it, love it, believe it. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, who is indeed the resurrection and the life. Amen.